Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Support for the Bubba Army Podcast is brought to you by our friends at Manscaped, the leaders in male grooming. Their fourth generation performance package absolutely changed the grooming game, along with their refined body wash to round out your hygiene routine. Join the nearly 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped for their shower time routine by going to manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping with the code Bubba. Have you smelled Manscaped's refined body wash, fellas? The ladies love their signature scent. You and your boys will be so fresh and so clean when you start off your self-care routine with the ultimate body wash. Keep the grooming game going with the Performance Package 4.0, and inside this package, you'll find the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, weed whacker and nose trimmer, crop preserver and ball deodorant, crop reviver toner, performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold all the goodies. The Performance Package 4.0 also includes the weed whacker to chop your worst weeds up the top of your nose and ears. Nothing's worse than that nose hair. Again, get 20% off and free shipping with code Bubba at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code Bubba at manscaped.com. Keep your balls trimmed, fresh, and clean with Manscaped.
Everything Right Show with
It's not me, buddy. That was not on me, and I was on time. But welcome to the Lummi Sports Show. Thank you, Brian.
How's it going, Lummi?
That's why Blitz. We were. You know, why you were in the parking lot? We were messing around with the stuff, and
yeah, everybody could hear you the entire time.
Blitz was even saying you couldn't hear us.
No, when I had the headphones on, the second I had the headphones on, and you got near the microphone, I could hear you through the headphones. I think the listeners could too hear you panting and huffing and puffing.
Okay, well, I mean, before you were here at 4 o'clock when I hit live, Blitz and I were sitting.
I was here. Now let the record show. I was here before 4 o'clock. I was on the phone with a client doing, you know, God's work.
Well, I don't know if everyone, as you say, hears, but what I did say is Brian is probably out right now dealing with some lawyer stuff, and that's what happens when you have a big time lawyer like Brian Petroni on the sports show. Sometimes, even though he's in the parking lot when his business calls, when lawyering calls.
When nature calls, man, you got to answer.
Yeah, and Toast 916 $20 super chat. And like I was telling them, hey, Brian's got to be a lawyer.
Sometimes lawyers got a lawyer, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I mean, that's why I was going on to kind of tell people.
I try not to let my day job get in the way of my more important job, which is this.
No, listen,
sports with you.
I appreciate that.
This is it. This is what it's all about.
I actually, I had a doctor's appointment. I did a webinar so I could be here. And that actually was kind of a little bit of, she was late. And I was sitting in the bullpen. And she was like, are you at work? You know, are you able to talk? I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm just waiting to do the sports show. She's like, oh. She's like, what have you done today? And I'm like, oh, you know, we did the show in the morning. And then I went out and shaved goats. She's like, I thought you were on the radio. I'm like, yeah, we have a farm back there. And then she's like, well, I don't want to, you know, keep you from the sports show, so we'll make this quick. I was like, oh, thank you so much. And I feel like she probably thought I was full of shit when I told her I was shaving goats.
Well,
in between the radio and then waiting for this.
You're a man of many talents, Lummi.
Well, we did go live, Brian, on YouTube. And if you want to check it out, we gave both goats, Baby and Hootie, haircuts today. Give them a little mohawk since it is getting warmer. So I don't know if you want to check that out, Brian. Maybe you can show your daughter.
Well, goat haircuts are probably not her thing, but
she doesn't like goats.
She's not impressed by anything.
Really? Is she at that age?
I mean, she's almost four, but no, she's just she's very particular. She's the things that you would think she would be enthralled with. She is not.
Yeah, Heather Wiz, Hall of Famer, 1,000 stars. I know it's obviously a huge age difference, but with Walker, we've taken him to a lot of different events and a lot of sporting events, and he doesn't give two craps about that. Obviously, but then we take him to the zoo, thinking that he might like the animals. And he'd rather watch the water trickle into the pond.
Well, yeah, he's too young for all that stuff. You're wasting your time with that.
Well, we like doing it.
I know, just it's good for you. Yeah. But if you're doing anything for him right now, it's a waste of time.
No, but you know, you would think with the movement and all that kind of stuff, at least with the animals or anything, that he would kind of pay attention, but he'd rather see the water dribble into the pond.
Yeah.
But, you know, 813-90-BUBBA, Brian, myself, take all your sports questions, no matter what it is. If you wear a jersey at a game, to Final Four picks, to who you think will win the MLB World Series.
So in our pool, there's like five different people who can win.
I know, and you're one of them too.
Lowly eight that we had, and you are too, sir. You can still win.
Yeah, I know, but I'm nervous that Duke. I think Duke and Little Purple Jersey, $199.99.
Wow.
Brian is my favorite person within BRN. I think someone hacked him.
Little Purple Jersey's my favorite person, too. Our favorite listener. My favorite listener.
I think someone hacked.
I want to talk about Lamar Jackson and him and everybody trying to sabotage his relationship with the Ravens at some point today.
Yep, I have that on my list.
Brandon Dunning with $10. Thank you, Brandon.
Thank you, Brandon the Quad, with your USFL WNBA
picks. This show's killing it.
Brian Payne, 200 stars.
Bo's going to have to recognize us as the superstars that we are at some point.
I know. I mean, actually, we can get into that Baltimore talk for the NCAA talk. I have that because they did just re-sign Jim Harbaugh.
Well, I'd like to get the NCAA talk out of the way because there's not much to talk about.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, first of all, it's awesome. We all love the tournament. But so from our revised picks, I had three out of the four of the final four. And did you as well?
I had
Duke, Houston, UNC, and Kansas, with still having Duke, Kansas in the final and Duke winning it all. And then you had, I believe, Gonzaga, Houston. No, Gonzaga, Villanova, which you got right.
Yep.
Kansas, and then I want to say you said Purdue or UCLA.
No, I said UCLA.
Okay.
Yeah, I said UCLA, so I had two out of the four.
And I flat out told you, never trust those West Coast teams.
Well, I was going
West
off
Coast basketball
of the hype.
Is garbage.
Yeah, I think. Well, I was going off the hype from last year. I was going off the hype of, you know, just kind of reading too much into UCLA. I'm a little nervous right now about
fantasy
Villanova.
Real quick, fantasy baseball is too much work. I'm not about that life.
And it's going to be really hard just to get that many people to sign up at this point.
I won't do it. It's too much work. It's 162 games you got to be paying attention to. Like, it's way too much work.
I used to do it back in the day, but like you said,
it's a full-time job.
Yeah, people were picking up pitchers left and right, especially how many times, you know, like the Rays.
And you got to set your lineup every day, and you got to be watching injuries, and you got, you know, oh, this pitcher is scratched and blah. It's way too much work. Way, way too much work.
100%.
Yeah, not gonna do it.
But not, no. Oh, not going to do it, huh? That was a good impression.
Not going to do it.
George Bush. If you're going on the NCAA, I'm a little nervous at Duke.
Should be nervous. They're going to win it all. They're the most talented, they're the most complete team. Mike Williams has absolutely taken over games in the interior there. He's playing like a big 7-foot stud. Paolo Banchero is probably the most complete player left in the tournament. And then the guard play from Jeremy Roach, as it's evolved throughout the season, he has become an integral part of their offense that wasn't present for much of the season in terms of his contribution. And that really is the difference maker at this point. That's why I do understand that Duke fell short in that in Krzyzewski's home finale against UNC, but they did also rail UNC by 20 plus points earlier in the season. I think we'll see a nice solid 10-point Duke win. Likewise, Kansas is going to absolutely roll over the injured, decimated Villanova Wildcats. I think Kansas probably wins that game by 15 to 20 points. I think it will be a blowout. I know the Vegas betting line is 4.5. I would pound Kansas on that 4.5 points.
And UNC is 4.
Yeah. And the difference with UNC Duke is the rivalry factor. That definitely influences the score, right? Like when Pittsburgh and Baltimore play in the NFL,
it's gonna be a close
game. It's gonna be a close game. And that's why I would pump the brakes a little bit on the Duke. It could come down to a 1-point, 2-point game, but I really think Duke's got too much for them and they'll end up winning by 10. I think the semifinal games will be boring. I think the final four game, the championship game rather, will be a doozy.
Well, of course, if it's Kansas Duke on your picks.
I've got Duke. Well, I want it to be that, and I've got Duke, you know, winning that one by about 3 points. So
you got 10 points.
10 points beating Duke over UNC, 15 Kansas over Nova, and then 3 Duke over Kansas.
I got Villanova winning by 3 points over Kansas, and I think UNC is. I think they'll cover. I have a feeling Duke will win that game, but I think UNC. I think that's going to come down to a 2-3 point game.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I think if we're looking at the championship game, Villanova Duke. Yeah, I mean, obviously, I have to go.
You're
going to
stick with your original pick. You're not going to just admit that you were wrong and move off of it. You're going to go down with the ship.
I'm going to say Villanova is going to step up and they're going to win another national championship.
Villanova has no chance. Send
your boy off in tears.
Villanova has no chance.
Let's go to your number one caller, 443.
What's happening, y'all? How are you?
Mr. Hoff, how you doing? Don't hassle you.
I'm fantastic. It looked like somebody hacked my account. I just tuned in.
Oh, yeah. I believe that was Brian.
No take backs, buddy. No take backs. Yeah, you accidentally stayed logged in on the computer here, and I just decided to go ahead and get generous.
Oh, yeah, my bank account was still in there. I gotcha.
Yes. Thank you, Little Purple.
So with the March Madness, do you think Duke is really going to win the national championship in Krzyzewski's last year?
Yes.
Like, is that too good to be true?
I mean, it is, but I think it's going to happen. You've been watching the games, correct?
Yes, I have.
Okay. Does Duke look like one of, you know, them in Kansas right now, the two best, most complete teams?
Correct. What was the turn? Because Duke looked obviously above average, but for a Duke team, they looked average towards the end of the season and in the conference tournament. Like, what flipped?
Didn't they look tired to you, Little Perp? Didn't they look tired?
I think it was pressure. I think it was pressure and not knowing how to handle and deal with the pressure. And I think that losing in a weird way, losing Krzyzewski's last game at Cameron has led them to this moment. Like, it kind of took the pressure away from them. They've already ruined his farewell. And so this is like redemption for them. And they've played up in every single game when they've faced some very good teams and some teams that were tough matchups for them. You know, Texas Tech, everybody's talking about number one defense in the country. And, you know, they'll make you turn the ball over and they'll do this and they'll do that. And they didn't really do it to Duke. Duke was in complete control of that game from about 2 minutes left in the first half all the way to the end.
I feel like Duke got a lot of confidence in the early stages of the tournament because there were a couple close games that Duke looked like they were going to get knocked out early.
What are you talking about? Cal State Fullerton, they handled them.
Early on, like obviously toward the end of the game, they were making their free throws and ended it. But
Michigan State was a tough match.
Yeah.
But Michigan State was likely better than their seed. You know, they had them as a 7. And Michigan State's was probably a 5.
And that Arkansas game was a lot closer than the final score.
I mean, it was
a 3-point game with like 26 seconds left.
I don't think it was.
Yeah, I tuned in. I was like, holy shit, Arkansas has a chance to beat Duke, and that really fucks up Brian's bracket.
No,
I'm going to be really excited.
I don't think they ever got within closer than 5 down the stretch.
There was a time that it was pretty close, and I was pretty excited, and I was ready to text you and say, oh, there's a chance.
I just know if Duke wins, I think Brian wins the bracket, and if Kansas can pull it out, I think I'll win the bracket.
Yeah, that's
definite. I think I have like
126
definite possible points, and then Brian has 128.
Whoever gets the it doesn't matter. Whoever gets the champion is the only one that has a chance to win. And I think we've got every team accounted for except UNC. So in the event UNC beats Kansas in the final, I think somebody had Kansas.
I do. I have Kansas.
Yeah, so you win.
Yeah.
At that point, because Kansas made it to the final. Well, actually, no. If UNC beats Kansas, then maybe I beat you. If I'm ahead of you now, I beat you.
Well, who do you have winning the – do you have Kansas in the championship?
Yeah, I have Duke beating Kansas.
Okay, and I have the
– So if UNC, if UNC wins it all and Kansas makes it to the finals, I think I win. I'm not certain on that. And then if Duke wins it all, I win.
Yeah.
If Kansas wins it all, you win. If Villanova wins it all
– I win.
Are you sure? You do?
It's either you or Hinstar.
Hinstar
or,
doesn't have Duke in the finals, right?
I don't think he has him in the finals, no.
Okay, so then, yeah, you would win if Villanova wins.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Hey, so I don't want to bring politics into this
Dude,
conversation.
And real quick, let me remind Lummi here. Arkansas never got closer. I mean, it was never close down the stretch.
Then it was something. There was another. Maybe it was.
It wasn't Texas Tech
Kansas
either. It was
game,
the Michigan
the
State game was close.
Maybe it was Michigan
end.
State then.
Yeah, yeah, that was close.
I just know there was a game that I was ready to just text you and tell you, hey, Brian, good luck, buddy.
Yeah, well, thanks for that, because you just thinking that made Duke play better.
Yeah, I think it did.
Yeah, they handled Arkansas. They were never in danger against them.
Then it was Michigan
like
State.
The closest Arkansas got was within 5 with 13:20 left in the game, and then Duke stretched it out to like almost 20, 18 points.
They okay.
Cruise control. They absolutely dominated Arkansas.
Then
the score
was
not
State.
Indicative of the final performance there.
John's guard, JJ, 100 stars. And it must have been early on then, because I remember watching. You know,
yeah, it was Michigan yeah. State. They were close with Duke all the way up until the last minute.
I gotcha. There you go.
All right, so to not bring a ton of politics into here, I do have a question for you guys. So I was at a conference this weekend in Miami, and the main guy that puts the conference on decided to go balls to the wall and had Trump as the first speaker. And they didn't announce any speakers for the entire event, which is the first time they've ever done this. And everybody I talked to that works for this person said that Tom Brady was going to be speaking on Sunday. Well, apparently he had 3 speakers pull out because Trump was on stage. Do you think Tom Brady would have pulled out from that because of Trump to, like, protect his image?
I don't know.
I mean, Brady's already kind of been open with Trump, or do you think that hurt him back in the day?
I don't know. It's, you know, who knows?
I just think it's dumb that you're scheduled for a big conference and then...
Well, you don't even know that he did cancel, and you don't know that the other people pulled out for that reason. It's all speculation.
Yeah, it's all rumors at this
point.
That
is very true. I just know he was scheduled to speak there 100%. He was supposed to be there. Which was my only other question.
He may have pulled out because of the Miami Dolphin trade rumors and said, I can't go down to Miami right now.
Yeah, everyone's going to start talking to me
yeah,
about it.
Yeah, everybody's going to be all over that, and I don't want to add fuel to that fire, so I'm going to just not come.
To stay out of the news from everything with the whole retirement.
Well, and also, P.S., Miami was like a war zone that week. I mean, they were like imposing curfew.
Well, it was in Hollywood, which is, I mean, it's near Miami. It's like an hour north
or
whatever.
Yeah, no, it's like 30 minutes north, yeah.
But then you got rumors that, oh, look, Tom Brady's down in Miami again.
Yeah.
They're talking about getting him traded.
Who knows? But what about Lamar, man? What do you think's going on there? I know he tried to dispel the rumors of discontent there by saying it's a false narrative, but you think there could be smoke there with that smoke?
I don't think so at all.
So you think you think he'll get a contract extension before the season starts? Because I'm telling you right now, if they don't sign him to an extension before the season starts, it's highly unlikely he's with the Ravens next season.
And why do you say that?
Because players don't want to be sitting there hanging in the wind. Because another major injury or something happens to him, and it will matter to him. That he, as a young quarterback, when he's finally going to get paid big money,
mm-hmm.
that he's got it locked up and he's got that guaranteed money locked up.
Look at Chris Godwin.
Yeah. If it's a little different than the Aaron Rodgers situation, but even they didn't let him get into the play through his final year of his contract. You don't do that with your franchise quarterback. You don't get yourself into a Dak Prescott situation.
And they just re-signed Harbaugh.
As a Baltimore fan. I mean, I've obviously kept up with all of his post-game interviews and everything like that. And I think the dude just wants to win. Like, he's been practicing all offseason. Obviously, I see that more than anything else because I follow him. But from what Harbaugh has said, like, Harbaugh said he's working on getting better, one from skill set and two from the injury. So I don't know if that's his main focus, but I if it does get to the point where the season starts and he's not signed, I will be a little bit more nervous. But as of right now, I'm not too worried about it.
James Pino, 500 stars. Well, you think Harbaugh will sign him for three more years. I mean, don't you think that they should be locking up Lamar here pretty shortly if
right.
he's their
but
guy?
Does it also play into effect that Lamar doesn't have an agent working for him?
He's got his mom.
Right, exactly. Mm. So what does that have to do with it? Does it have to do with maybe Lamar isn't worried about it, or they can't figure it out, or like what? I don't know. What could it be?
No, I think he wants to hit free agency. I think he realizes he's going to be the only big-name free agent quarterback next year, potentially.
I just don't think he's all that worried about money. I mean, I know he wants his money, but I don't. Like he said, as soon as he got drafted, I'm bringing a Super Bowl to Baltimore. I truly and
what is he going to try and get the NFL to let Baltimore host a Super Bowl? Because that's about the only way he's bringing the Super Bowl to the city of Baltimore.
Ouch.
Yeah. Okay.
Time out. You're going to go on record and say that the Baltimore Ravens win a Super Bowl in the next three seasons.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll go on record and say that right now. Write it down.
How much you want to bet?
3 years. What did we say? 3 years.
Yeah. Next three seasons, Baltimore Ravens win the Super Bowl.
$2,500.
Okay, well, let's keep this off the air. There, you guys can text each other. But it did look like the Ravens
Monopoly money.
Yeah. But it looks like the Ravens owner did come out today and said that he does not see Jackson signing an extension before the start of the 2022 season unless Jackson has a change of heart.
Yeah, it's
unique as hell.
His decision to wait. Well, the only thing his decision to wait suggests is that Lamar is looking to test free agency.
And because the Ravens owner then came out and said we'll pay him when he's ready.
But they'll slap the franchise tag on him. You know, they can do that, and that's actually potentially a savings to them, you know, versus locking him up for a long-term contract. Given the latest contracts we've seen given out, you know, Lamar, you know, the top five is still, you know, getting paid the average of the top, what is it, top five at his position?
Like I said, I truly think he wants to win, and I don't know if he wants the distraction. He knows it's going to be a massive contract. I don't know if he wants that. I mean, look at what happened to Flacco. He won the Super Bowl, got an insane contract, and never did anything again. I don't know.
Look at Cousins. They slapped the franchise tag on him 2 years in a row, which is the most he could, and then he left and, you know, went to the Vikings. I mean, it almost happened with Prescott. You don't want this to get, and it could be Lamar's decision. You know, the franchise might not be able to be in control of this, and he's saying, look, I'm not going to talk about it, and that's his choice. But it's very odd for a quarterback who's happy in the position that he's in to not leverage that in the last year of his contract before they've got to start using the franchise tag to give him a big dollar contract, especially this year where we see huge money being thrown around, huge guarantees, unprecedented money to NFL quarterbacks, why he wouldn't jump on that train.
Yep, and the owners even come out and said that we'll pay him when he's ready to be paid. But
yeah,
I mean,
we'll see.
He can go to the beat of his own drummer or whatever it may be, but
not going
to
help him if he blows his knee out.
I mean, Josh Allen signed his extension already. I'm sure Herbert.
I mean, Mahomes got his a couple years ago.
I'm sure Herbert and the Chargers are in talks already. I'm sure.
I like the Mahomes structure deal where it's so back end heavy, so you can keep good players around you for your prime seasons.
Yeah, I mean, you can always restructure a front-end heavy deal to make it more palatable. I mean, the Bucks have been doing that with all their contracts. But it's, you know, it is good to have that where you don't have to do the restructure bonus and all of that.
Right.
But, yeah, it is. To me, it's if I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan, I'm not happy about this. I want and quite honestly, if I'm one of the teammates in the locker room, I'm like, Lamar, I thought you were in on this, man. Why aren't you in on this? They're trying to give you trying to get you paid. Why are you committed to this team? And,
right.
You know, that's a problem. If you're a leader,
I'm more unhappy about Za'Darius Smith pulling back out of the talks of him joining the Ravens right now than I am of Lamar not signing yet.
No, I mean, it's not. You guys have him. You guys can have him for three more years guaranteed if you want him. It's just to me, it's not a good look. It's troubling, at least on its surface. So we'll see what happens.
Thanks, little perp.
Take care, buddy.
All righty. Have a good show.
So
641, we got phone banks blowed up here. 641.
Hey, it's Brian from Philly. How you doing?
Hey, how's it going, Brian from Philly?
Hey, I don't get that Villanova line at +4.5. I think it should be like 8, like Brian said. I think that line's crazy. I don't understand it.
Now, what I will say is this. Villanova has shown an ability to get teams to play close, low-scoring games and stay close because mm-hmm. they're exceptional, well, actually best ever free-throw shooting team in the history of college basketball in a season. But I don't think that they will be able to do that in this game. I think Kansas is able to assert their will early in the game, play their style of play. They were a great team last year, and then you add Remy Martin to the mix, and it makes it just a fantastic cocktail that they've got brewing in Kansas right now.
Vegas is usually spot on, though, so they know something.
Yeah, that's what I'm confused by. And then I think, what's Duke? Given 4? I think Duke's like 4.
Yeah, Duke's only given 4, but I think that's on the heels of the heels beating Duke in Cameron, which I think is an outlier. I also think that Duke's 20-plus point victory at Carolina was at the Dean Dome was a bit of an outlier as well. I think Duke is about 8 to 12 points better than North Carolina on a neutral court.
Yeah, I think Duke and Kansas are good bets, easy wins. I'm going to go with them. We'll see.
I don't know. It could be one of those bets.
What'd you say, sir?
The Philadelphia Eagles are screwed this season. Hurts is not the answer.
They're screwed for a while. Yeah, I think that's pretty safe to say.
Yeah.
I don't see any light at the end of the tunnel for them. Now, the only saving grace is that they're in a division with Washington and New York, who look equally as lost.
Right.
But
they're not going to go anywhere else.
Well, a lot of people are saying that Dallas kind of screwed them with a lot of their trades and different things like that. So, I mean, Dallas could once again just be that average team.
Dallas will just be an average team, but every other team in that division is below average.
Right. I mean, Hurts is not the answer. They're going to have to give him one more season. I'm sure he's gone.
Well,
all right, gentlemen. Great show.
All right. Take care, man. Thanks for listening. We have another caller?
Yeah.
Hit it.
641?
Thought we just took 641.
Hey, what's up, guys?
We did. Another 641. Brandon the Quad, our USFL, WNBA. What did we else assign to him?
Water polo.
Water polo.
Some handicap tennis, I think.
Oh yes, handicap tennis, the pickleball.
but I did see that the odds came out on the USFL today, and the Tampa Bay's tied for their plus 450 to win the whole thing.
If you're betting USFL games this early on, I think you're a degenerate.
You're a total degenerate.
It's like betting spring training baseball.
There is no way to know who's going to have what at this point. And if I'm Vegas, I'm not even opening the lines. I don't want the action. But the thing is, you can balance it out. I mean, they're good at doing that. But it's crazy to be betting right now. I guess you can find some value there if you get lucky. I mean, it's like a penny stock. You throw some money down on a team that's got high odds and hope that they're wrong about them.
And then make it through the whole year.
The New Jersey Generals are the longest odds at +900.
Man, it looks like all New Jersey, New York teams just really blow, huh? They can't even get a USFL football team to do anything.
If Lamar Jackson doesn't end up doing anything with the Baltimore Ravens, do you think Baker Mayfield could end up there next season?
Who?
Baker Mayfield.
No. I think Baker Mayfield, first of all, he's not going to be on the Browns. They're going to have to – I don't know what the hell they're going to do.
Well, there has been rumors. I have that written down, too. There was a lot of talk today about that on Baker Mayfield. That Baker Mayfield, they may be keeping him because they're not really believing in Jacoby – since Deshaun may be suspended for a couple games, and they may make Baker start those games.
No, if they didn't believe in Jacoby, they wouldn't have brought him in.
Well, just for a backup, because that's only if Deshaun. If Deshaun doesn't get suspended, Baker's
out. I don't think they will. Mark my words right now. They will not keep Baker Mayfield on that roster. They're not going to have three quarterbacks being Deshaun Watson, Baker Mayfield, and Jacoby Brissett. Not going to happen.
Do they trade him in the draft?
They will trade him. They will probably get a seventh round pick. They may even have to compensate a team. I mean, I don't see who the hell wants him. He's a fucking loser. He's a loser. He doesn't lead the locker room. I haven't heard a single Browns player upset because Deshaun Watson was coming in. OBJ's looking to rejoin the team.
There's a former Brown player that's really pissed off about it. Landry. He fired his agent because of it.
Because what?
Because Watson came in.
Yeah, that's because speculation.
Is it? He fired his agent saying that, you know, he wanted to stay a Brown if he knew Watson was coming in.
Well, he didn't opt out, did he?
His agent had him opt out.
Oh, well. So that's it.
I was agreeing with you.
Wait, one player
is mad that he left the Browns.
He's mad that he left the Browns.
Yeah, because Deshaun's in.
Yeah, and OBJ wants back.
Yeah, exactly.
That tells you all you need to know about Baker Mayfield. He's a fucking loser. Nobody respects him. He's probably has less respect than Carson Wentz.
Oh.
And Jim Irsay just fucking grilled him today. Just absolutely roasted Wentz's ass. Jim Irsay was pretty much laughing at the Washington, what are they, Commanders?
Commanders.
The Washington Commanders about trading and giving up what they gave for Carson Wentz, which I agree. Carson Wentz is trash.
Well, I'm not a Carson Wentz fan, but Irsay was probably drunk because he has to go to rehab again.
He may be drunk, but Carson Wentz is a bum.
I know that.
Yeah, well, you know that, and you know that Irsay is right about Wentz being a cancer in the locker room, not a leader of men. Baker Mayfield is just like that, man.
Yeah.
Really, what I want to know is where the hell is Minshew going to end up, and why is he not getting a shot?
And who's Seattle doing with their quarterback situation?
Yeah.
Well, Seattle needs to get rid of the one they got from Denver, because that guy never did anything in Denver, so they just need to cut him.
Drew Lock's cheap, though. Compared to like a Baker that for some reason the Browns are still holding on to his $18 million contract. And Gardner Minshew, I mean, he's going to be cheap. What's he going to be? What do you think, Brian? $6-7 million?
I thought he was under a one-year deal. I didn't think he was under contract. But yeah, I think you could get him for $5 million. I think if he had a shot to be a starter somewhere that you could absolutely get Gardner on a discount.
What did Andy Dalton just do with the Saints? Wasn't it like $7 million?
Yeah, all of these backup quarterbacks have been in the $7 to $10 million range.
Yeah.
Like they're not backup. I'm gonna say like mid-level starters, like spot starting type quarterbacks. The Jacoby Brissett, not Jacoby Brissett, but the Tyrod Taylors, the who signed
the Dolphins
with the Dolphins. Yeah,
my boy Teddy Bridgewater.
Teddy Dimes. You know these guys are all signing in that Mitchell Trubisky, they're signing in that range. So I think you can get Minshew on a deal, but, you know, who knows?
Well, actually, now that we're talking about it, I see Pittsburgh getting – I'm surprised Pittsburgh didn't get Baker Mayfield for his money.
Why to pay Baker Mayfield $18 million?
Brandon, are you a closet Baker Mayfield fan?
Oh, and I do apologize. Gardner Minshew is actually under contract with Philly for $2.5 million this year.
Is he?
Yeah. I didn't realize he had a two-year deal.
I guess
I'm not a closet Baker Mayfield fan. I'm just surprised that he hasn't gone anywhere yet.
So Minshew Mania hits the open market next season. That's when Minshew Mania really heats up.
There's an article that came out that said Gardner Minshew, five potential trade destinations since the Eagles have announced that Hurts is their quarterback. And I guess Minshew said he wants to get out of there. He wants to leave.
I mean, he's wasting his life away on a bench right now behind quarterbacks who are worse than him. That's got to be the most frustrating thing. When you are clearly better than the guy in front of you, but you're not getting a chance because the team has more invested in that guy. It's bullshit.
Well, let me tell you these teams and see if you agree with it. Steelers, I don't see, but then they have the Texans, the Detroit Lions.
No, the Texans seem to be in love with Mills.
But if they want competition,
I don't think they do.
Well, then you got the Detroit Lions.
They've got they're stuck with Goffer for another season.
Yeah,
and Minshew's not going to go to a situation like that where he's behind a starter that they're paying too much and can't justify benching.
Then they got the Seahawks. And
Seahawks is the best place.
And the Carolina Panthers.
The Seahawks would be. Didn't the Panthers sign somebody?
Well, I mean, don't they still have Sam Darnold?
Yeah, they still have Darnold.
Yeah, they still got Darnold.
I mean, and then you got Cam Newton coming out saying that, you know, a lot of people are interested in him.
Nobody's interested in Cam
Newton.
Maybe in the USFL. He's not going to USFL. I mean, who has more interest right now, Brian? Cam Newton or Baker Mayfield? Who would you rather have as your quarterback?
Oh, gosh. If I could get Cam Newton for like $3 million to $3 million as a backup.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I mean, Baker Mayfield is better than him, but you're not winning with either one of them. So what does it matter? I would rather lose with Cam and save money than lose with Baker and overpay $18 million plus whatever you have to trade to get him. It's such a terrible, terrible contract.
Yeah.
Who's the backup for Dallas right now?
I don't know. Do you know, Brian?
No, not off the top of my head, who they've got.
That's where Cam should go.
Who?
Why should he go to backup in Dallas? He's a totally different quarterback than Dak Prescott.
Yeah, he's just a running guy.
Yeah, Dak is not, I mean, he's mobile in the sense he can get away from pressure, but he's not looking to run. He's a pocket passer, man. Cam is not that. Cam is not, I don't think Dallas, Cooper Rush.
Oh, yeah, he's a good quarterback.
He's a great quarterback.
From Central Michigan.
Good. He was phenomenal at Central Michigan.
I remember him.
First of all, have you seen him hold a clipboard? Amazing.
Yeah, he's kind of
actually
like
a surface now. I guess it's. Have you seen him hold a surface?
I have.
I don't even hold clipboards anymore.
Yeah.
I can't even hold a surface because it's too big for my hands.
Oh, that's true.
The Cobra can't hold it.
All right, Brandon.
Sorry, Brandon.
It's been fun,
see you
man.
Later, bye.
See you, Brandon. So. I want to go back. So Seattle, I want to talk about Seattle because I don't think anyone knows what Seattle's doing.
I don't think Seattle knows what Seattle's
doing.
Because
aren't they talking about trading Metcalf?
I mean, you might as well at this point. If you're not going to have a top-level quarterback to throw to him, and he's never going to have higher trade value than he's going to have right now. But he's in the last year. I mean, he's so affordable.
He's what, 24?
You can franchise tag him. The issue they have, I believe, is that so they've only got him under contract for this year, and then he's going to be a free agent, unrestricted. So you've got that issue. And then Lockett, I think, might also be, well, he may be under contract for a couple more years. Yeah, they've got Lockett locked up through 25. So you really don't have to trade Metcalf if you're Seattle and you think you can put yourself in a position to win soon because you can franchise tag him for 2 years. So you can have three more years of Metcalf and Lockett together.
So this insider put three potential trade deals that he's heard in the pipeline. One was Seattle gets from the Packers a first-round pick, a second-round pick of this year, and a fifth-round pick in 2023 for Metcalf.
I would take it if I'm Seattle. If I don't have a long-term solution at quarterback right now, if I don't have a clear path as to who's going to be my QB, then I'll take draft picks. I would take the best one that Green Bay has, which I think would be the one they got from Denver.
Yes.
For Devontae. And Metcalf and Rodgers together would be a hell of a combo. I think you lock Metcalf up for, you know, at least two more seasons, so he plays with his time with Rodgers.
Yeah, the life of the contract pretty much with Rodgers.
Yeah.
With maybe an option on that backside in case Rodgers wants to come back.
Yeah.
The next one they have is the Seahawks would get Chase Young and a fifth-round pick in 2023, and the Commanders would get DK Metcalf.
Nah, I don't think there's any chance that the Commanders are getting rid of Chase Young. He's a hell of a player. He's a game-changer.
Yes,
he is. You know, you need to have a good defense to hide some warts on the offense. And P.S., who's throwing him the ball in Washington?
Yeah, Carson Wentz.
Yeah, are you really – I mean, they may have believed it. I think they made the move because they think that division is winnable right now and they want to win with their new name and all of that. But, man, if you're relying on Carson Wentz to be your quarterback and lead you to the playoffs right now – I feel for you. He is just not that guy.
And then the last one that they have, I guess, in the pipeline is the Jets. The Jets getting DK Metcalf. Seahawks getting a first-round pick this year, second-round pick, second-round 2023, and a fifth-round 2023, which would be a little bit better than the Packers.
Yeah, it would be a better deal than the Packers because they're going to be better picks than the Packers.
Yeah, but it would be the 10, the 38th, and then obviously 2023. And that gives the Jets that number one receiver for the guy out of BYU, whatever.
Yeah, I think if I'm Seattle, I'm sitting back. I've got time. If I can figure out something with the quarterback situation between now and then and have an idea of what I'm going to do for the next 3 years, I'm not doing anything with DK until I know what I'm doing with my QB situation.
I just find it crazy that Seattle is, they're just kind of hanging out. They're really not doing anything. You don't hear any rumors about, you know, people going up and visiting. I mean, right now their quarterbacks is Drew Locke and Jacob Eason.
Yeah.
And I don't think Jacob Eason's going to be the guy that they're looking for.
Is he even under contract? I'm looking right now, and oh yeah, Jacob Eason, there he is. Who is he?
He's from Washington.
He's in his second year. Yeah. They picked him in the fourth round.
I mean, like you said, I mean, obviously, why not bring Minshew if they're going to draft the guy?
You got to trade for Minshew if that's the route you're going to go. And then I mean, at this point, you could even do. See, that's the thing is when you've got the right to franchise Metcalf and re-sign him, but I don't think he's going to want to re-sign with them without Russell. So you have him for three more years if you want him. The issue is you can't trade him if you slap franchise tag on him unless he agrees to it and gets a new deal from that other team like Davante Adams did. Well, no, they didn't franchise. Did they franchise tag Adams before they traded him?
Yeah, they did because that was when Aaron Rodgers franchised him, and then Aaron Rodgers signed his, you know, or said he was coming back.
So I guess it's up to the player then if they get slapped with the tag that if they're renegotiating a deal with the new team that they can then be traded, because I thought the rules were that you can't trade if you franchise tag, but obviously you can.
A lot of people have done that where they franchise tagged and then they have traded, like they wanted to hold them until they got the deal done. And a lot of players have been pissed off about that. But usually if that's the case, they usually work that deal out with the other team. Like the team tells them, hey, we're franchising tagging you, but we're going to trade you now.
Well, I'm sure their agents talk. And yeah, Adams likes his deal. So it's not like... not like he's upset about happened.
Yes, he's going back to Vegas. Now, talking, sticking on Seattle, kind of, I mean, where do you think Bobby Wagner goes? Since, I mean, he was released, he's still sitting out there, too. I mean, I still think he is a good middle linebacker. He's a good linebacker at any team. I mean, I know defense isn't a big free agent, you know, especially like a linebacker.
Well, my first thought, because they don't have great linebackers, although is Buffalo. Would be a potential landing spot for him. I just don't know what they've got on the in terms of cap room. I know they're tight, and I don't know what he's looking for. But I think Buffalo could probably use an upgrade at middle linebacker.
It looks like he's scheduled to either go to the Chargers, Cowboys, or the Patriots.
The Patriots make the most sense, obviously.
But the Patriots haven't been doing anything in the free agent market either.
No, they shot their load last year and wasted all their money on tight ends. Stupidly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, they did. They don't have a lot of money. And so they'd have to do a lot of restructuring and things like that. And they've got this year alone, they've got almost $29 million of a cap hit tied up in two tight ends.
Do you see this being kind of a top heavy, all the guys, you know, like just like, a, you know, like a, for the past couple of years, the NFL has almost been where you almost saw the division, almost every team kind of had a chance where like the NFC East, it's going to be probably the Cowboys, even though they're an average team, you know, then you got your hard NFC West. Looks like the NFC South is a joke. Like, do you see where it's
the NFC
separated?
West isn't going to be if Seattle.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this. Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Doesn't find a quarterback, and San Francisco goes with Trey Lance.
Well, it looks like they might be doing Jimmy G.
I know that, that we don't know, but if they're going to go with Lance, and Seattle doesn't figure out if Seattle's starting quarterback is Drew Lock. All of a sudden, the NFC West is not that challenging. Arizona faded at the end of the year. So you look at, you know, obviously the best division is the AFC West. Then you look to, I mean, really at that point, it's head and shoulders. I mean, the AFC North could be at that point the second best division in football in terms of competitiveness.
So are you seeing it flip? Because for a while there was the NFC, obviously, besides the Patriots. And now it looks like the AFC has the better, you know, right now is heads above the NFC.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they've got the best quarterback talent in that conference now. I mean, you've got Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers as top tier. And then I think you got
Stafford
and Prescott.
Kirk Cousins.
No. So you've got those four, right, in the NFC. And then you look at the AFC and you've got, you know, Burrow, you've got Mahomes.
Well, you can just look at the
you've got Wilson, you've got Buffalo, you've got
Josh Allen.
You can say
Mac Jones isn't bad.
Herbert.
Miami's just weak on them.
I mean, Tua's not it, but you've got better quarterback play. I mean, Trevor Lawrence, I think, is going to emerge.
What do you think of Matt Ryan at the Colts?
I think
they need another weapon. I don't think it's Julio Jones.
Yeah, I think they can make it work. Matt Ryan was not the problem in Atlanta.
No, their offensive line wasn't weapons.
Mean, he's been a, you know, he dealt with it and he didn't complain. I like him. I've never heard a bad word uttered about him. I think they upgraded for sure. I can't believe Atlanta was willing to take that much of a dead cap hit on him. What was it? The biggest ever, right? Like $40 million.
Yeah.
That's the part that's most fascinating.
Which doesn't make any sense to get Mariota. And at one point, the Falcons at the end of the year were 7-8 with you just look at that team and they do not look like they could have been close to getting into the playoffs.
No, but they were because of Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't go out there and light it up, but he did enough to win, put them in a position to win games. Now, the teams they were beating were garbage.
Yeah, but I mean,
they weren't out there beating, you know, top-notch, you know, playoff contenders.
They had the third worst points against.
They beat
for
the Giants,
defense.
Jets, Dolphins, Saints, Jaguars, Panthers, Lions.
Okay, the Dolphins were...
No. Don't say it. Don't say it. The Dolphins were fucking trash, man.
No, just because Tua...
That they lost to literally every single playoff team they played. They did not beat a single team that made the playoffs. Not one. So that 7-8, 7-10 even is very, very misleading. The Falcons were a very bad football team.
Well, they're going to be even worse this year with Mariota.
Oh, yeah. The Bucs are... I don't see them losing a game in the division. They probably will lose one because it happens in the NFL, but 5-1 is their worst case scenario in the NFC South.
Oh, I'm excited to see Jameis come down here again and just absolutely throw pick after pick. And I mean, the Saints even just lost Jenkins. And Jenkins would give the Bucs some difficulty.
Oh, he gave him headaches. Yeah, he gave him
headaches.
And
he's done after 13 years. So that's going to hurt the Saints even more. I mean, what do you got? Jameis, he goes down. Andy Dalton. I mean, I think Andy Dalton's been, and you'll probably disagree, but I think Andy Dalton's been an underrated quarterback.
I think he's been rated right where he should be.
Well, a lot of people.
For the last three seasons.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about before. I think he got
rated. Yeah,
right,
I mean, before he had a bum rap, but he is who he is. I mean, the last 2 years, he's thrown 22 touchdowns and 17 picks. That's not very good.
No, I'm saying like before. And then just being slid in, I think he's not a bad backup to have. You don't want to obviously have him be a starter, but I think he is better than other starters. I think he's better than Tua.
The last three seasons have been pretty awful for him. I mean, his decline was rapid. He went from being a pretty decent, you know, top 15 quarterback to now he's a bottom 10 guy.
But that was when what?
Bottom
five guy. He was with the Cowboys, right?
No, it was Cincinnati. Three different teams in three seasons. Cincinnati, Dallas, Chicago. His combined stats from that year, 38 from those years, 38 touchdowns versus 31 interceptions. That's not good.
No, I'm not. I mean,
his record as a starter in those seasons, 9-19. Now we say, oh, you know, it's not on the quarterback. But then you look at Matt Ryan, who was with a trash team last year and went 7-10 with a trash team.
True.
So I just, you know, Dalton fell and he fell quickly. And so, no, I would not feel confident with Andy Dalton starting for me.
Oh, I'm saying if Jameis goes down, I mean, I'm not worried about the Saints. I'm not worried about the Saints, their backups. I mean, the Carolina doesn't know what they're doing with their quarterbacks. And obviously Atlanta, I'm not worried about Tua. I don't know who Atlanta has as their backup, but for them to trust Mariota, I understand.
I don't think they're trusting him. It's a gap. It's a gap fill. Because here's the thing: you can't roll out some unknown nobody quarterback. At least Mariota has a name, and you can say, "Oh, we're trying to compete." And even though you know it's probably not going to work out, he does have a potential upside if he could actually stay healthy, where he could win you in that division. He could get you to 9-8. Or even maybe even 10-7. The division's bad except for the Bucks. So I haven't looked at their schedule and how it shapes up, but I think they're more likely to go 6-11 with Mariota as their starter, but he could put together some wins. So at least you can sell tickets. I mean, if that's the idea, is you don't want to completely lose fan interest during what is clearly going to be a rebuild for them, then that's what you hope for. I mean, no Calvin Ridley. Most likely.
No.
You already got rid of Julio Jones. You lost Russell Gage to the Bucks. I don't know that they've added anybody of you know, consequence to that
they
team.
They have not.
So.
I mean, I'm just saying, because they kind of sold Mariota that he played with, you know, the head coach.
Here's going to be their offensive starters at the moment. You ready for this? Marcus Mariota at quarterback, Cordarrelle Patterson at running back, then Olamide Zaccheaus.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. He's good.
Kadrell Hodge and Frank Darby as their wide receivers.
Frank Darby? Is he related to Charles Darby? Listen,
I'm just saying that's not a team that is looking to compete right now. That is a team that is absolutely rebuilding and is going to be rebuilding.
The Falcons, you got to remember, will have pretty much the same schedule as the Bucks, and we did say that the Bucks have what, the third hardest schedule, I believe, or second hardest schedule.
Yeah, the Falcons.
Because you got to look, they're going to have the Commanders, Cardinals.
Well, that's a blessing.
49ers, Browns, Steelers, Ravens, Bengals, Rams.
Are you actually looking at their schedule?
Yes.
Okay.
Rams, Seahawks, Chargers, Bears. I mean,
they don't have the Packers.
No.
They don't have the Chiefs.
Nope.
So right there, that's too much. Their schedule is not as hard as the
Bucks.
They
got the Bears as we got the Packers.
Yeah, that's a pretty good fucking trade-off.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and then
they got a team that's absolute trash and will always be a joke in the Chicago Bears.
Poor Bears. And they're about to... I don't know if I really fucking like that move. Let's talk about the Bears. I don't like how they're, you know, Soldier Field, that they're talking about moving to Arlington Heights.
Yeah.
Do you like that?
I mean, why not always keep... about trying to get a new stadium and more money, man.
But didn't they upgraded the Soldier Field, what, 20 years ago?
That's a long time, Lummy.
Yeah, but the stadium's from what, 1940s, 1950s?
It's from 1900 shit.
I mean, they kept Wrigley Field.
But it's different.
Because it's football and different. It's not as...
Well, and yeah, it's a different deal. Soldier Field is not Wrigley. You know, it's not. It doesn't have the cachet of Wrigley. It doesn't have the charm. It doesn't have the nostalgia.
Built in 1922.
Yeah, it's still not Wrigley.
I don't know. I'm just saying. I mean, you know, you got a stadium like that. I don't know. I guess, like you're saying,
the location of Soldier's unique. I think moving it out of like the city area is a mistake.
Yeah, you're moving it to the suburbs.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not for it, but I understand why they're. You know, look at what Buffalo just got. I mean, they're getting handed $850 million by the idiot taxpayers of the state of New York.
Well, I mean, that's, yeah.
So if you're the Bears and you see that happening, I mean, when was Buffalo's stadium built? 1950? I mean, it's, you know.
No, I think theirs was built in the 60s or 70s.
Yeah, whatever.
I know. I mean, but their stadium, they have one of the smallest stadiums in the league, though, too.
Yeah, it was built in 73.
And they have their stadium is pretty small.
No, 71,600 ain't small, dude. The Bucks is smaller.
No, like if you look at the luxury boxes and everything.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
A newer
they don't
age stadium.
They don't have the luxury seating.
That's what I mean. Like you at least with the Bears when they went underneath that 1 year renovation and they went and played in Northwest University or whatever school it is. They were able to do renovations to it. Like the Bills has that 1973 stadium look with no luxury boxes. That's what I mean, not big. I mean, because obviously that's what the NFL looks at these days.
Roger Dawson asked if we thought they should have domed Buffalo Stadium, and I say no.
No, I don't think
the reason why they dome Minnesota is Minnesota doesn't have the same fan base. They don't have the same rabidity that the Buffalo fans do. The Buffalo Mafia, the Bills Mafia, is very loyal. And so, no, I think you keep it. That's part of the charm.
Yeah.
Although the stadium looks like it's going to be, you know, very, very, very modern and not very charming. But the fans being out there freezing to death, Fitzmagic coming to games shirtless and sitting with the fans, that's what makes Buffalo. It's a blue-collar city, and you take that kind of blue-collar edge away if you're building a dome and creating creature comforts to that extent.
And it gives you that home field advantage, too, just like Lambeau and all those other...
Yeah,
just,
I mean,
you know.
I wouldn't want to go up there and play in 12 degrees. You know?
And they know that going into it. I mean, Minnesota... I don't see those people going... I mean, I think it's surprising that Minnesota Twins built an outdoor stadium, you know, for their baseball team. I mean, you see that they don't sell out. I mean, the Vikings, the Lions, I mean, those guys could have an outdoor stadium, but I don't think the fans, obviously they've both been down, but do you see them going out? Like Buffalo, I feel like they could be down and out, and they'd still be selling out. Similar to Green Bay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, just like Cleveland did in Cincinnati. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think a lot of people are pushing for. Oh, your camera went out. Did you turn it off?
No.
Oh, you're black, Brian.
I'm not on YouTube. I don't know.
Oh, you went on mine.
Are you having a stroke?
No, you're out. You're black on my screen. But I mean, I like that they're keeping that outdoor stadium. 813-90 BUBBA. Sorry, you distracted me because your screen went black on me.
Well, it was actually good. My wife is texting me, so I had to text her. So I do apologize. Very unprofessional of me.
No, it's okay, Brian. I understand. You just once again.
I'm just not professional.
No, Brian, you're very professional.
Hey, I got to give you the $20 before I leave too for the pool.
Yeah,
yeah, because you're gonna have to pay somebody out on. Has everybody paid?
Yes, the people except me. The people that did not pay,
they didn't enter.
Yeah, they dropped off. As you can see, and yeah, people are saying that some reason you're blacked out on YouTube.
I am now blacked out on Facebook.
Is your camera?
My camera blacked out now. Hold on, maybe my YouTube's on a super long delay.
Yeah, you might want to refresh that. 813-90 BUBBA. Brian is here. He just is off camera for some reason now. Check the cord on that one, Brian. Everyone's dying to see you. I do have a couple other things I want to bring up to you, Brian, on my little notes here. Just let me know when, you know.
I mean, I can keep doing the show. I'm trying to figure this out, but I didn't touch the cord. Nothing got moved. So hold on. I got to get some light to see what the hell I'm doing with this thing.
People are saying you were sniped.
Not yet. If you want to donate $500, I will leave the show right now.
$500 to snipe Brian. Oh, geez. I can't imagine if we actually, you know, someone does snipe you for that one, Brian. Does that make you feel good or?
That when I get sniped, I feel good that people hate me that much. Like, as long as they're feeling something, you know.
Do you like my shirt, Brian? Did you see the new shirt? Would you wear one of these?
No.
Which, by the way, everyone, you can get these right now at Bubba Army Shop, Bubba Army Store, Bubba Army Merch.
No, the shirt's hideous.
And Brian, looks like you're back up on Facebook. Okay. Wait, EJ, the shirt's hideous?
What?
Dr. Dan's a hero.
He is a hero.
$21.99 on BubbaArmyShop.com. You also have Honest Cubes and Save the Diacos.
When are we going to get the babyface jersey up there? I think those will be selling like hotcakes.
The babyface jersey. Now, do you want...
Why don't we do this?
Do you want a football jersey or a baseball jersey?
I think I'll leave that up to the fans to decide, but let's get like a mock-up. Somebody do a mock-up of a jersey, a babyface jersey.
They're like two snowflakes on a sleeve?
We'll see what we can get in terms of pre-orders, and if we hit a certain amount, then we can have that made.
I believe the pre-order for shirts like that is 24, but I mean, for jerseys, that might be totally different, Brian.
Yeah.
Now, would you wear the babyface jersey?
I mean, if they made it and enough people bought it, I probably would wear it once, but that is very douchey.
Now, would you wear it to a game?
No.
Do you plan on going?
I mean, I guess if enough people bought it, then I would feel compelled to, but I wouldn't want to.
Now, are you planning on going to any Rays games?
Actually, I was going to ask you about that. I've got a deal for 20% off Rays tickets. And I wanted to see if you had any interest in going to opening day.
Yes, my wife and I were actually talking about that.
Oh, no women. It's a dude's thing.
Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah, we don't like women when we go to sporting events, and we're a bunch of guys.
Oh, is it your same buddy from the hockey game?
No. It's not my buddy from the hockey game.
Oh, I gotcha.
He can't make it. No, there's only like three or four of us right now, but I haven't ordered the tickets yet. But no, if you and Ashley were planning on going, I'm not looking to ruin that, but I will send you the link so you can save 20% on
it. Oh, I appreciate that. Yeah, no, we were planning on going opening day. We've both never been to an opening day game.
You have not?
No.
I don't think I've missed one other than the COVID times.
See, my whole thing with the opening day is I always just wait till like the next game after. And even when I worked for the Rays, I was still working down with the Stone Crab, so I didn't get to make opening day, which would have been free.
What's your email address?
LemmyBTLS@gmail.com.
Okay. Yeah, I'll send you the link I have.
Sweet.
So at least you can save money. But yeah, I go to the reason I like opening day is because it's there's energy, right?
No,
it's
there's exciting. Yeah. Well, that's a good thing about the first week in baseball, especially in Tampa, you got that energy.
But the opening day is different than second game.
Well, obviously, I've never been to one, but that's one thing that Ashley and I were definitely wanting to go to was get that energy. I think they're playing with the Orioles.
The Orioles at 3:10 in the afternoon. So I like to get that. What I love that time. That's a perfect time. Get down there.
Beat the traffic.
About 11:30, 12 o'clock. Get parked. Head over to Ferg's. Have some drinks, maybe a sandwich or something there.
Yep.
Then walk around a little bit. Then head into the stadium. Stay for five or six innings.
You beat the traffic back too.
Beat the traffic back and call it a day. Now, the Lightning will be hosting Boston that night. So what a doubleheader day for Tampa sports fans if you want to catch the Rays opening day game and then head across the bay and catch the Lightning against their hated rivals, the Boston Brujans, in what has become a pivotal matchup because of the Lightning's recent slide that I think have turned around now with the last three or four games.
Oh, they did beat Carolina last night.
Yeah, it was exciting. They needed to come from behind against a team that was tired and on the second night of a back-to-back traveling down from Washington. Wasn't as good of a performance. I mean, I know they did dominate the game. They dominated possession and all of that. But man, Vazzy's got to get it figured out. He has not looked like the Vazzy of old lately. And I know not having McDonough hurts, but man, I really would like to see the team trending all of them trending upwards heading towards the playoffs. You don't want to peak yet.
No, you want to start. You want to have that slow trend up.
Yeah, and so I think that's happened. They definitely bottomed out.
Yes.
6 out of 8 or whatever it was. They definitely bottomed out. But
kind of a good time to bottom out.
Yeah.
And then slowly start coming
integrate
back up.
Hagel and Paul into the mix. And so, you know, the power play, the penalty kill, the power play heated up over the last four games. The penalty kill is 15 out of their last 15 since Paul and Hagel have gotten, you know, linked up and figured it out. I think the Lightning penalty kill now may be the best in the entire NHL. And so that will make a huge difference come playoff time.
Which I'm excited to see. 8-4-3.
11 of their last 16 are at home. So if you want a chance to see the Bolts, you've got a good opportunity now.
8-4-3.
What's up, man?
How's it going?
It's Sean from Charleston.
What's up, Sean?
Nothing much, man. I just wanted to say you guys are doing a great job. Love you, Brian. Love you, Lummy.
Well, thank you.
Love the show, guys.
Thanks,
that's all,
man.
I wanted to say.
Thanks,
I appreciate
man.
That.
That's
thank
awesome.
You.
That's awesome.
All right, man.
Have a good
I'll
one.
See you tomorrow. All right.
See you.
Have a good one.
It's always nice just to get a
nice
mark out
love.
Call. We love
it. We love a little mark out call, especially when you're marking out to Brian. He loves that.
Yeah, I'm not, you know, I actually like the hate more.
Can we get a
can
Brian
get a hate,
hate
call? Can I order a Brian hate call, please?
813-90-BUBBA. Yes, we're here for the hate call.
I'll take it extra sauce, extra salty.
Well, Brian, on the opening day too, you know, Ashley and I are probably going to go, obviously, we can meet up with you, right?
Yeah. I'm
so,
not,
say
like,
hi to you
I'm not, I just, my wife's not going and I mean, you know, whatever.
No, I totally get it. I appreciate the
20%
off.
Where do you
like
to sit when you go?
Kind of down the first baseline.
Really, to me, the best bang for the buck where I love sitting in the outfield. So for the price point and the seats that you can get to me and the game, the action's always coming towards you, right?
Yeah.
So I like that.
I think we are sitting. I think we are looking at tickets now with the 20% off would be better. I think we are looking at sitting on that right around that outfield bullpen section.
Yeah. That's not too bad, but the true outfield, I think with the coupon, it's like with the discount out the door, they're like $37 a ticket.
Let's see if this is a hate call. 941. 941. Did you rub your chichilla?
Wow.
Brian, I want to ask you about the did you see the
thank
new...
you, Ward family. They said they love me too much for hate calls.
Wow, I'm sure I'm
you
sure
are. You are alone, Ward family. You're on alone.
Yeah, I'm sure we could offend some people just with Brian's takes on.
You want a Brian hot take?
Yeah, let's go with a Brian hot take right now.
Let me see. Let me think of a good Brian hot take. What will I think that's kind of controversial and that people like? Give me a minute on that. Let me stew on that issue.
All right. Well, let me ask you about the NFL rules. The new NFL rules. I got two of them. What do you think of the new overtime rule?
I like it. I think it's fair when the games really truly matter. I don't think you want the games going super long. One for your TV partners, two for the players during the regular season. You know, I think the rules are fair enough right now during the regular season. I agree that in the playoffs it shouldn't be ending like that. Quite honestly, I believe in the playoffs that you should play it down. You should play, you know, another, maybe not, maybe just make it a 10-minute quarter for the first quarter, and then maybe go down a minute each quarter for each overtime after that, but have a winner at the end of a period.
Brian, do you think anyone has the balls, like in the first, let's say they do go to the overtime in the playoffs, and they got to kick it off first, if they go for an onside kick?
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Well, I would. Why
how
not?
How would that rule? How
why
would
the, not? Because you're going to get the ball back.
Exactly.
So if you trust your offense, then fucking go for it.
So, I mean.
If you're in that game last season in the playoffs, then you absolutely do it. Neither team could stop the other.
True. Well, yeah,
the
true.
Kansas City game, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, neither team could stop
Kansas
the other.
Kansas City, Buffalo.
Why not? I would actually defer, too. I want to know what I have to do. Now you're going to see that. But the trick with that is if both teams score touchdowns or both teams trade field goals, now you're stuck because the next score then wins.
Correct.
So I still think teams will not defer. They will take the ball first. But, you know, the problem is the rule changes and everything to onside kicks have made it so that it's so difficult to recover the ball now. I mean, it's you just the success rate is so low. If it was a higher success rate, then maybe. But I mean, you're talking like what, like 5%?
I think it might be lower now with all the rule changes.
Yeah,
I think it's like 1 or 2%. But I mean, I don't think a lot of teams are going to be sitting there thinking about that.
No, I still think with the rule change, it makes it almost impossible. I wouldn't do it.
You wouldn't just, you know. I don't know. I think that'd be pretty ballsy. Obviously, it's a playoff, so I mean, that would be pretty dumb.
So in 2021, it was 4%, just over 4% during the 2020-2021 season. 71 onsides, 3 of them were successful.
What was the year before, though? Wasn't it lower?
No, this was the lowest in NFL history this past season. In 2021, through 8 weeks in the 2021-2022 season, there were 24, so there were fewer attempts. So I don't have the most recent numbers, but for 2020-2021, it was the lowest conversion percentage ever at just slightly over 4%. So I don't think the risk is there, because it's not you only onside kick when it's absolutely necessary at this stage in the NFL game with the rule changes.
Yeah.
So I don't think... I don't think you go for it.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, I kind of like the over. I like it in the playoffs. I hope they don't adapt it to the regular season. I think that, you know, I think that just takes away from your defense. You know what I mean? Like, it takes away from the sport of it. Hey, our defense is going to go out there and stop them. You know what I mean? It almost shows like you don't believe in it. Now you're just turning it into an offensive league. So I hope they just maybe keep that for the playoffs and not adapt it to the offense, or I'm sorry, the regular season.
Yeah, so before the rule changes, it had reached a high of 13% in 2019.
Really?
Yeah. Then you're talking a different story. If you've got a 1 in 8 chance, a 1 in 9 chance, you know, in that range of recovering an onside kick, then yeah, I mean, if you're confident that your offense can answer in the event that you don't recover it, then you go for it.
I didn't know it was that high. 19% is pretty. I mean, that doesn't sound high.
No, not 19. 12.9. It was 13%, which is still pretty high.
That's still pretty good for an onside kick that obviously they don't do much. I mean, a lot of people always talk about, you know, going for an onside. You maybe see it once or twice. I mean, obviously it was a lot more then. The hiring process. What is your opinion on that? You have to hire either a female or a minority for an offensive position.
Yeah, that there has to be an assistant type position, which is going to be paid by the league, so subsidized by the league.
They have to work closely with the head coach. I don't understand why not a defensive.
Well, because there are a lot of defensive coaches, minority coaches. The offensive side is lacking. That's part of the reason.
Now, did they come out and say why that is? So I read into it a little bit, but one question I wanted to
implicit
ask you is...
Implicit bias.
Is it?
Yeah. It's just, you know, it just happens, right? You know, you don't know why.
Like more of the
I think the mindset.
The minority went to the defensive side?
Yeah. I think that's the mindset. And it's not something that's necessarily at the front of their minds, but listen to the adjectives when you describe quarterbacks who are black versus quarterbacks who are white, right?
True.
And so... That is natural, right? It happens, but that I think spills over into the coaching ranks as well.
I see what you're saying. A lot of the coaches that did play in the NFL all came from the defensive side. I don't know of a coach that has been of a minority that was a offensive coach.
I mean, Eric Bieniemy has been sitting there waiting forever, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of crazy. Yeah, look at them all. Raheem Morris, Lovie Smith, you've got Mike Tomlin. They all come from a defensive background.
Yeah, I was just trying to think of all of them. Lovie Smith, even like you look back at Tony Dungy.
Jim Caldwell.
Yep, Brian Flores. And Herm Edwards,
That's the reason, right? That's the reason. I think it should be called the Eric Bieniemy rule, quite honestly, because it is unfathomable to me how that guy has not been hired as a head coach and been, you know, passed over for some of these retreads who are just not that good.
But I mean, there's people in chat too, and there's other people that say, you know, you just gotta hire the best person that's available,
but that's clearly not happening in the case of Eric Bieniemy. That's clearly not happening. And I agree with you. You should hire the best person available. But that is not happening in his case. And there is a dearth of quality. You know, from just looking at things from a statistical standpoint, the NFL can look at this and say, okay, you know, we've got X number of players in the league who are African-American. We have X number of players in the league who are white. We have X number of coaches in the league who are offensive coaches and are white. And we have X. And you can look at the percentages. You have enough of a pool to look at and say, wow, we, for some reason, and you can't identify easily what that reason is, but for some reason, minority coaches are vastly underrepresented on the offensive side of the football in the NFL. And, you know, that there's got to be a reason for that. And, trying to address it is to me not a problem. They're allowing teams to add an offensive assistant position. They're not forcing them to take an existing position away from somebody. So I like that. The league is paying for it, so it's not costing the clubs anything directly. I don't see any harm in this. In this instance, I don't see any harm in this. And if you can call in, if you say, well, it's the best guy, the best man is getting the job, well, it's not true. Eric Bieniemy has been a offensive genius for years in the NFL, and for whatever reason, keeps getting passed over. You know,
I think a lot of people would say he doesn't interview well.
That's a bullshit excuse.
No,
though.
I agree.
That's a bullshit excuse.
Brian, I 100% agree with you on that point.
Do you think Bill Belichick interviewed well? Do you think for a second that Bill Belichick was a good fucking interview?
No.
No, exactly. That's why it's a bullshit excuse in the case of Bieniemy.
I agree with you because not even just in the NFL, I think in majority of the time in race, I think if you don't interview well, it doesn't make you the person that, I mean, it doesn't matter what you interview for a job, right? If you have the mindset and you're a proven offensive coordinator for the Chiefs, you've worked your way up through the ranks of an assistant coach in college, going to an assistant coach in the NFL to being an offensive coordinator for the Chiefs who won the Super Bowl. I mean, you have proven yourself. I don't think it matters about an interview. Now, in this case, I think he is the best person for the job. I have no idea why he has not been hired either. I think that's dumbfounding. But I think a lot of people might argue with you on the fact of, okay, you got one person that has been passed over, and now you're just going to gift, you know, all these other people.
You're not gifting them anything, though, because you're not taking anything away from anybody else. You're just creating opportunity. And you're not doing it at anybody else's expense.
Well,
no,
but you don't see
being
this,
hurt by this.
Well, you don't see that it might just because once they start getting offensive, you know, the offensive jobs and all the next couple of years, it's like, okay, well, now we have to have a woman coach, head coach. We have to have one.
That to me, that side of it is kind of silly. It's, you know, it's a different perspective when you've played the game at a high level versus coaching it at a high level. Now, not all of these coaches played the game at a high level.
Correct. There's some coaches that haven't played at all.
I get that, and I understand that, and that's the argument for allowing women into the coaching ranks.
Yeah, if the woman coach is the best at the time, I'm just saying if they force
But what the NFL is trying to address here is why more minority coaches are not being looked at for these offensive positions. That's what they're trying to address. So this solves that problem. The byproduct of that naturally should be at some point these coaches get elevated into higher offensive positions, and then you then have the opportunity for them to become head coaches if a team opts to hire them. But I think at this point, it's not hurting anybody. It's addressing something that, you know, without pointing fingers, is clearly an issue for the NFL. I mean, let them explain it. Why don't you have more black coaches on the offensive side of the ball?
Well, Byron Leftwich could have been a coach this year, but he took the high road on that one.
Well, he just decided what we
he didn't
think.
Want to, he didn't want
we
to
think talk. We think that he turned down the Jacksonville job.
Supposedly he gave his honest opinion of the GM for
Doug
the Jaguars.
Doug Peterson's not a bad hire for them.
I'm just saying.
He's a good coach.
I mean,
he has a track record. I think he has a Super Bowl, right?
For the Eagles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that's a good hire.
Yeah,
I'm just saying
Leftwich.
I think Leftwich, he's an offense coordinator. Obviously, he's a minority. I don't know if they're keeping him around to be the next Bucks coach or Todd Bowles. But, I mean, at this point...
I love all the snowflakes now. Why are no trans coaches? Come on, guys. Don't be ridiculous. You look foolish. It's very simple. Nobody is being hurt by this. Nobody. You're simply creating another position to get people into the door. Nobody is losing their job because of this. Nobody is losing an opportunity because of this. This is a very sound, reasonable solution that the NFL came up with for a glaring problem that they have.
I think some people are just thinking down the line of, okay, if it's going to all the different, like, give, and now, okay, you have to give. No, like, you have to now hire this person to be a coach.
Nobody's been forced into hiring anybody. Nobody.
I'm just saying what people are seeing. I think that's the opinion that the people are coming up with.
Well,
so
the NFL has clearly identified a problem. If you don't like it, take it up with the NFL. Don't watch. I don't know what to tell you. It's a sensible solution to what is clearly an whatever the reason for it is an issue in the NFL. There are not many offensive African-American coaches when there is a ton of potential coaches to take those positions, and it's just not happening. So what's the reason for it? I don't know. Maybe they're all just the worst interview ever. Maybe we'll go with that. They're all just so bad at interviewing. Like, Bill Belichick's amazing that he got 3 jobs.
If you look at a Bill, you almost got to go younger because
Bill Belichick didn't have a great track record when New England hired him. I mean, he had failed miserably with Cleveland, and what, he was with the Jets for a little bit.
Hold on, listen, I'm not a Bill Belichick fan, but you can't say he failed miserably with the Browns.
How many playoff games did he win with the Browns?
But
coaches are judged by wins and losses and playoff success. That's the way a coach
is
judged.
But hold on, was that team not on the verge of doing something before they moved to Baltimore? And then they let him go?
Third in the AFC Central. Third in the AFC Central.
But what do they do
next year? Shush, I'm answering your question. Third in the AFC Central. Second in the AFC Central, lost in the AFC divisional game. Good on them. Fourth in the AFC Central. They had one winning year under him before he got fired in 1995. One winning year.
But what did the Ravens do in 96?
So what did he do? What's on his resume to show that he deserved the opportunity with New England?
Well, what was the Ravens record in 96?
He wasn't the coach.
I know, but he was building the team.
The team that went 5 and he had a team that he had at 11-5 and won one playoff game and then lost that he returned the next season and went 5-11. What was he building? That's a weird way to build. Build it up and then knock it down?
Wait, where did he go from 96 to 2000?
He was with the Jets as a defensive coach.
Oh.
He went Parcells.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Like he did before. Okay.
Yeah. Like he owes his career to Bill Parcells.
Well,
almost completely.
Well, you know how that goes. Once again, you're okay. You know what? You got me on that one. I thought he had a little bit better with the. I thought he had a better record with the Browns.
He had one decent year, and then he regressed.
Yeah, you are correct. 3-5-2.
Hi, man.
How's it going?
I agree with both of you at certain points, but Brian, did Bill Belichick all of a sudden get a brain when he went to New England?
No, he got a Brady. He got a Brady when he went to New England.
Hey, well, that's just what I said. He got a Brady, and they hell of a run.
Yeah, no, they caught lightning in a bottle. How's he done since? He's 17-16 since he lost Brady. Well, he's 7. We'll see. The next 2 seasons will define Bill Belichick as a head coach in this league. The next 2 seasons.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
Was he riding Brady's coattails? Was it a magical formula between the two of them? If he is this great genius in mind, he'll figure out how to win with what he got. He's got parts and pieces. Right. He's not in an impossibly tough division.
Nope.
You know, Buffalo Bills, clearly the class of that division right now. Miami Dolphins, middle of the pack team, and the Jets are going to be a doormat again. So
they've been a doormat for a long minute.
Well, for their entire history, pretty much. Pulled like three seasons out of there.
Nathan was there.
Namath, and then you got the Chad Pennington, the 1 year with Pennington when they were decent.
Yeah,
with Keyshawn when they made it to the AFC Championship with Bill Parcells.
Yeah. Look, I'm not saying Bill Belichick can't coach. Okay, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying when the knock on Bieniemy is he doesn't interview well, and you've seen Bill Belichick publicly speak.
He's a jackass.
He has got no personality. He sucks personality out of people who are around him.
I thought
the defense performed quite admirably today.
I'm damn sure not a Belichick fan.
I'm not going to speculate.
I love Tom Brady to death.
I'm not going to speculate about what Tom Brady's went into his decisions. That's for you to ask to Tom. I think Mac Jones.
Listen, hold on. Maybe he's
a good quarterback.
Maybe he's a totally different guy.
He's a party animal. No.
I'm make a point right now. The coach of Alabama, Nick Saban.
Mm-hmm.
He worked with Belichick, correct?
Yeah.
He failed miserably in the NFL, by the way.
He cut.
I understand that. But there's film of Nick Saban having fun with his players.
Nick Saban's different than Bill Belichick. Nick Saban has five times the personality of Bill Belichick.
That's why he works in college.
And let me say this. Nick Saban barely has a personality. He barely has a personality, and he still has five times the charisma of Bill Belichick.
That is true. That's why he does well in college.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying.
God, I mean,
I don't know.
Well, listen, man, we got to get going. Yep. I've got a friend in from Chicago. I got to meet for dinner. We appreciate the call.
Thank you, 352.
It's been a fun show. Well, let me ask you this: feet to the fire. What do you think of the NFL's decision with regard to creating an extra offensive coach position, not taking a position away from anybody else, to increase the diversity of coaches that have historically been underrepresented in the offensive coaching ranks?
I have no problem, like you said, as long as it's not taken away from anyone else. The NFL is paying for it. You're educating more people on an offensive position. Like we pointed out that a lot of the minorities and different coaches that they're looking at all have been defensive coaches. I have no problem with getting more off. I don't give a crap who. You know what I mean? If you're educating and if they're learning the system and they're moving on up, I do agree to the point where people say if you started here, then what else are they going to get? But if it's not hurting and you're not taking a job, it's not like you're saying you have to have an assistant coach, you have to fire him and you have to replace
him.
Then it's not a problem.
Exactly. It's the best way the NFL could have addressed the situation. And I applaud them because they very rarely handle things the best way possible. But I couldn't come up with a better solution myself. Not only that, the teams don't even have to pay the position.
Well,
it's going to be paid for by the NFL.
And I think that it's like a lot of other things that are in the media and the news. They're not covering it correctly and they're not explaining it correctly. So what people are seeing is that they're saying in a short way is, oh, that they have to fire someone in the offensive assistant coach, position and hire one of the, hire a minority, hire a female coach, and you have to lose it up. But as you've explained it, it's a position that they are now creating and it's not taken away from anybody.
No.
And you're bringing in someone new to come in. It doesn't hurt anybody. It's like if you create a T guy. If you create a position, you're not taken away from, the grass cutter. You know what I mean? It's the same thing. You're creating a position.
Yeah, you're creating a new spot for somebody who has been historically for a group who has been historically underrepresented in a position. So I applaud the NFL. I think it's a step in the right direction. I hope it leads to higher quality offensive coaches being available in the NFL and
new minds and new minds,
new philosophies,
yep.
new approaches to the game. It can only make the game better. But unfortunately, that's all the time I have
for
tonight.
Me too.
I really appreciate you, Lummy, and I appreciate all the listeners.
Thank you, everyone. And we will be live tomorrow, 6 a.m., twitch.tv/TheBubbaArmy. Check out all the new shirts on BubbaArmyShop.com. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We'll be back next week, Wednesday, 4 o'clock, YouTube, Facebook, twitch.tv/TheBubbaArmy. Tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., Bubba is live. Thank you, everyone.